Mexican woman. Here's the news. Thousands of Mexican women who survive violence in their homes are being put at risk of further abuse by the country's justice system, which often fails to take their safety seriously. Domestic violence is endemic in Mexico, as it is in many other countries. A national survey conducted in 2006 showed 1 in 4 women in Mexico have suffered abuse at the hands of their partner, and 82% of women who have decided not to report it. Women who find the courage to report the abuse are often treated with indifference and have to prove that they are subject to violence. Amnesty International is calling on Mexico's federal and state authorities to make a public commitment to implement the 2007 legislation to protect women from violence and invest the necessary funds to put into practice. Investigate and publish findings on why reporting, prosecution, and conviction rates for violence against women remain so low, and take specific measures to tackle obstacles identified by these investigations. So if you want to find out more on what Amnesty International is doing on this issue or how you can get involved, what you could do is you could visit www.amnestyusa.org. Or actually, you could send us an email at mitai-exec@mit.edu. So, yeah, stay involved.
Excellent. All right. Well, that's about all we have time for here. We're going to go out with a little bit of Bhangra because, you know, we don't get a chance to play Bhangra on our show very often. So, it was a
This is our first time, right?
Cheap shot, yes.
Cool.
So, this is Intermix with a song that I'm going to mangle by trying to read it. So, I don't know. It's actually spelled out phonetically. Probably phonetically spelled out Punjabi there.
We're going to make Krishna say it.
We're going to make Krishna say it.
Par Farni.
And it sounds like this. Stay tuned for music
for human
beings. And we'll catch you Friday.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Listen carefully. What you are about to hear can save your life.
The Intercontinental is coming your way every Wednesday from 6 to 8 p.m. Digging up international impurities for your listening pleasure. Yugoslavian mariachi, Inuit hip-hop, Indian brass bands, as well as psychedelic rock and hip-hop in every language but English. And when appropriate, we'll cover the traditions as well. So remember, The Intercontinental with your host, Jesse Kaminsky, Wednesday from 6 to 8 p.m. on WMBR in Cambridge, for your ears only.
If you think depression is all in a person's head, you're right. It's a brain illness. And like other illnesses, it has symptoms. Depression can make those who suffer from it feel hopeless. It can even lead to suicide. Learn how to stop depression from taking another life. Call SAVE, Suicide Awareness Voices of Education, 1-888-511-SAVE, on the web at save.org.
مرحبا من الدكتور جالس السكران to Music for Human. معي اليوم, today we have my colleague and co-host Peace Child Peter.
How's it going, man?
Here in WMBR in Cambridge.
8.1. Figured we'd start talking today about Wikipedia. I was thinking about this interesting phenomenon. Some of you out there may wonder how a tea maker such as myself comes to find himself in Cambridge at MIT with all these smart kids when I myself don't know so terribly much about technology. Well, the answer is I have a nephew that goes here. He was telling me about Wikipedia. He is in computer science. Very good with computers. And so I guess he does that computer thing. And he was telling me about this website called Wikipedia. I don't know how many of you have heard of this. I've heard the name before, but I never really knew what it was. Apparently it's an encyclopedia online where people come together and they write down various things that might be interesting to people, like an encyclopedia. And well, I thought that was interesting.
So the information is collected instead of the usual order, you know, where you have many monk-like scholars in a basement scratching on parchment over many years. You have Johnny in Tulsa writing about his comic collection in a random way.
And well, no, I think that what the monk-like scholars would be scratching in the normal encyclopedia is also scratched about in this encyclopedia, but it's not by the monk-like scholars. It's by people like my nephew, I imagine. Looks like we have a caller. Let's patch him through. Looks like we lost a caller. Let's go ahead and hang up.
As always, you know, Dr. Jalis Sakran and Peace Child Peter are here in the studio, but we are only a fraction of the many billions of people out there, and we would like to connect with you all, and two at a time. So please feel free to call us and to join us in our circular harmony search. Our number is 617-253-8810. And again, we have two lines.
So I'm sure you were wondering why I bring up Wikipedia, such a tech-related subject, in a show such as this, which focuses on spirituality and human connection. Well, it was actually something my nephew said to me about it. He quoted, I think it was the New York Times, about Wikipedia, saying someone had written or someone had said, or the Times had quoted someone saying, quote, "The problem with Wikipedia is it works in practice, but not in theory." And the reason for this, I've been told, is that because you would imagine that since there are no monk-like scholars in the scratching, that anyone can scratch, thus there will be sabotage scratching on Wikipedia, but this is not the case. Apparently, every time there is a scratch sabotage, it is re-scratched back to the scratch state it was in previously. Scratch. So
the fluidity of the medium is what prevents the old theory and the necessity for the cathedral-like scratch organization. Because the medium is fluid and is also in a way, you know, more persistent.
Well, I think the real interesting thing is that we have people making this, and that saying that really goes back to the connection between people. People make it work. It's very interesting to me.
Mm-hmm. And also, the concept of change is really universal. You know, this it's something that we are maybe uncomfortable with. Also, maybe something we must reflect upon and handle. Today, actually, I have a niece who is
graduating, you told me.
Yeah, experiencing her own sort of change from the Fraunhofer Institute in Bonn. She received her PhD today, and so she also became a doctora like myself, and I'm very proud of her, and I think also about all the change she must have experienced. And speaking of change, it looks like we have another caller, so let's see if we can arrange for our, you know, binary star to become a ternary circular triangular star. Hello?
I know what Wikipedia was, however, with the new idea of the new anyways, I'm calling to say that I'm not listening to this radio show anymore, because inhumanity, as soon as I would begin to delve into anything, it would be calling everyone out, and calling everyone out is not necessarily a good thing.
Robert, you're a man here. You're, other than the people that appear on the show, you are the only caller with a name, the only one that's ever given it out. I'm gonna be really sad to see you go, man. I feel as though you and
There's Mort and Brenda from wherever she's from. She's dogs.
Yeah, but Robert, you gotta understand,
you're the anchor.
Yeah, you're like a co-host you're on so often.
Robert, you are the straw that stirs the drink.
Without you, we would be disorganized and often lose our way. I wish you would reconsider your decision not to listen anymore.
It's so boring. No offense, man. It's good that your niece, whatever, is doing financially well. And education's great. I mean, yeah, education's good. I love education. Education's good for you.
I agree.
Well, Robert, it's not really about celebrating her success, but only to contemplate the relevance of this this change.
Wikipedia?
Well, yes, Wikipedia. Wikipedia, I believe the interesting thing about it is the change is reversible. And in life, usually, things aren't really reversible like that.
To me, the interesting thing about the Wikipedia is the communication of people. The connection. It's like a whole bunch of them got together and said, we're going to make this work, we're going to do this right. And they succeeded despite a couple humans out there who decided not to be harmonious with the rest of the circle.
I don't understand what benefits Wikipedia can. Not that it's negative. I guess nothing has any benefits.
Here on the show, we have this very strong emphasis on connecting between people, connecting between souls, discovering ourselves and discovering others, and I feel as though Wikipedia might be able to give us a slight stride in this direction just because of its success in that area.
I like that it tells people's birthdays. Find out people's birthdays. Good.
Well, of course, but also...
It made me kind of doubt many things.
Wikipedia?
I didn't know that it was written. Yes, I know that it was written by people. It, of course, was written by people.
But also, it's somewhat revealing, you know. Even though the Wikipedia is not bound in leather, you know, even the Encyclopedia Britannica is written by human beings. People also that must attend to the same excretory malfeasance that we all must.
Exactly. I don't know. I remember these pictures of encyclopedias from like 1950s. Maybe they were 1950s. They're my father's and my uncle's when they were children, and they had lots of pretty pictures and misinformation. So I guess Wikipedia is cool. Like I like looking at lots of things. Information is good. Conditioning is okay. People are okay.
Well, Robert, also, do you contribute to Wikipedia at all?
No. That's like an online encyclopedia.
Yeah.
That's Wikipedia.
Well, like, could I document, like, pavement? So they take pictures of pavement everywhere, all the little pavement and all the grass.
I've heard from my nephew, that's probably already been done.
Like looking at why do you need a computer to look at pavement and grass?
I think it's about, you know, in an encyclopedia you generally look up where things came from, perhaps how they're made or their chemical structure if you're into that and related things. So it's not to look at pictures but to gain knowledge about a certain topic.
Oh yeah, I always forget about knowledge. I just want to look at pictures.
Yeah.
That's cool though. That's why I feel that I don't contribute very much to this show, because it's like a talking radio show.
I disagree, Robert.
I call up and burp at you every week?
Well,
I don't know what to say.
I think you do just fine on here, Robert.
Yeah, it's not really. There is no pressure to, you know, find. Well, we have an expression in Arabic. You know, in Arabic we say there is no pressure to find the watermelon seed in your, excrement. It's fine. You know, whatever comes to mind, just say it and join with us, and it's lovely.
How well do watermelons grow in the desert?
Well, not in the desert, but you are certainly aware, first of all, that we have oases in the desert, and also that the speakers of Arabic extend across 20 countries from as far west as Morocco, the Al-Maghrib, and as far east as Iraq, as far south as Sudan, and as far north as Syria. So...
It's quite an area you got there.
It's quite vast, and the climates vary quite a bit. Certainly, there is no snow climate, but there are climates where it does snow, such as the mountainous regions in eastern Iraq, where there are mountains. So, yes, we have words for watermelon, and we have expressions dealing with them. Although, interestingly, we only have one word for both ice and snow.
What is that?
Thelage.
Thelage.
Yeah, thelage. Yeah. Robert, out of curiosity, do you speak any other languages?
No, not literally. I was thinking about Pig Latin.
Mm.
I was going to say that as a joke, but I don't really even know that.
Like you are not fluent in it? I mean, I guess that brings up another question, which is what does it mean really to know a language, right? You cannot know all of the words. In many languages, there are several words even for this one concept of knowing in English.
I'm sorry, that was just a really loud noise outside my house.
What was the noise?
Made by something with a motor.
Motorized noise?
That's why I was laughing. I wasn't laughing at you. I couldn't really hear what you were saying.
Oh. Was it too quiet? Sorry. Or the...
I don't know. I just threw a coin at the wall, and then it bounced back, and then I got a tail. And then I looked at a big quarter, and I saw heads. And then I looked at a water bottle cap. People don't like that kind of stuff when you talk like that.
About the quarter?
About anything. People just don't... I don't know. You guys are humans for human beings are pretty friendly. You are some pretty friendly people over there.
Well, Robert, we like to think of ourselves as people. You know, just people.
Yeah.
I'm tones of voices. Everybody's really friendly and nice to me. Everybody's tones of voice is very friendly and nice. I was thinking about it today. No one wants to punch me.
Definitely not.
Why would they?
Why would we?
Because I want them to. I try to say, hey, you want to punch me? I say, hey.
You encourage physical violence against you?
I think it's nice.
Yeah, I understand. It's like you want to broaden your experience. There is a whole spectrum of pain which most people never encounter.
I just think stuff looks funny. Boxing is a very pretty sport.
Boxing.
Do you think it's funny when someone gets punched in the face?
Well, I think if you're familiar with Charlie Chaplin and his sort of humor, or back a while ago they made the Home Alone movies, that was all
physical comedy,
slapstick, and
I don't think that anything's really funny. That's what I don't understand. And I smile all the time. I remember I was saying that it's scared to smile, that if you smile you're scared.
I believe it's that way in the animal kingdom among chimpanzees or monkeys.
Yeah. I smile a lot.
Is it because you're scared?
I think I am very scared.
What are you scared of, Robert?
Where is this going?
Well, I'm just asking. You brought it up.
I think Robert was saying he's scared of where the conversation is going.
Oh, I see.
I'm scared where this is going.
Hmm.
Evolution is going.
Robert,
Where is this going? I think we just played a joke. Did that regard to Agate Pay and the excessive bug? Hey, what did you and Juno? I talk to these guys every time I'm in work. These two old guys with their encyclopedias. They remind me of the Three Stooges and Baloney and Excrement and Baloney. And there I go again with these quarters. And I love Baloney. I got a tails again. Which coin is this? Because I don't love it. I really don't like the old conditions. Arizona. I try to keep that coin around because I like it. I like America.
Well, Robert, if I may interject, what you told me earlier about fear reminded me of a sort of strange experience that I had. As everyone knows, I am Arabi. I'm an Arab gentleman. My picture is available on the Music for Humans website, but let me say that I am not in short supply of swarthiness and great beard, and I'm clearly Arab.
Nobody use the internet.
Well, yeah, I'm providing the details for those of our listeners who do not use the internet.
Wikipedia is fun.
It's very fun.
Yeah.
But the story in question is that I was walking around, and I'm not sure if you are familiar with this, but there is this standing racial question, which I've heard sometimes, which, you know, people say that they are walking on the street and it's nighttime and the place is not well lit, and a man is walking towards you, and of course, you know, with the normal fear to your human frailty and your you know, the fragility that you may fear that you may become attacked or mugged or something, and so if you are really afraid, you might even go so far as to cross the street and change the path that you are about to take. And the question of race,
I'm a big motorcycle.
The question of race comes into it when you behave differently if the man is white or if he is black, you know, and so this sort of thing can occur. And I recall this, you know, and usually it's sort of an academic question and so on, but one night not too long ago, I found myself walking down the street, and I was particularly disheveled, and I saw, you know, an African-American gentleman walking toward me. And suddenly this debate erupted in my mind, where I wondered if it was appropriate to cross the street. I was worried that I might be attacked. And after deliberating and thinking about it, I decided no, that I was not a racist, and that there was no way that I would cross the street, you know. I would walk by this gentleman, mugging or no. And shortly after I came to this decision, the man crossed the street. And afterward, I thought about it and realized that here he saw an Arabi, sort of large man, disheveled and, you know, swarthy and not clearly not a native of this area. And I remember I was carrying a bag, and, you know, he must have been similarly afraid. And it very much changed my perception of fear, particularly fear of other people. And
I more just don't like cars, but we're going to run out of gasoline anyways, so I guess it's not that bad.
Well, the gasoline issue is another reason that people are afraid. The whole petrol situation.
It's very unnatural. But I mean, I guess I still feel natural when I walk down the street and I breathe in car fumes. I still feel okay. Like, I still feel natural, and, like, it's still okay to, like, breathe in really bad stuff. Like, it's not that bad. I mean, I'm used to it.
The car fumes.
Yeah. I remember when I was a little kid, I actually used to like the smell of gas stations.
Mm.
I used to breathe in real deep. I forgot about that. I really did.
Strangely enough, I did the same thing.
Yeah, me too.
I used to eat in the fridge and eat sticks of butter.
You used to eat butter directly from the fridge?
Like I'd take a stick of butter and just eat it like a candy bar. My mom would yell at me.
My brother would always dip it in mayonnaise first.
I actually have a
I never did that, but I do when I make sandwiches. A lot of times I'll wanna like lick the knife. I think mayonnaise and mayonnaise and it's all very funny when I get to hear people say mayonnaise.
Well,
I like fluids. I think fluids are really like good. I like to monitor the color of my urine, and I think it's interesting when my urine has different smells. After I eat pasta, I think that's a pretty funny smell. Coffee is that's definitely a noticeable smell with urine, and I don't have a good feeling towards it or a bad feeling towards it. The bathroom in my work smells really, 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 really bad. My father's poop used to smell way worse when I was a little kid. because now he's afraid that he's going to have a heart attack.
Does that affect the odor?
I think that affects, like, everything. You know, I was sleeping the other night, and it was probably about midnight. My father was up. It was raining. He was outside in the garage, like, just drinking some beers. And he was talking on his cell phone, I guess, to someone. And I was sleeping. I had this dream that, like, I don't even know what he was saying. It didn't make any sense. And I was laying on a weight bench, and I was just laying there looking up, and I was just like, what the heck? So then I woke up, and I went to the bathroom. And then I heard him talking on his cell phone, and then I was like, every little thing. Every time a car drives by with their stereo, that's like, it's total. Everything is not only with smell, but also with the ears. They're all penetrating your system from every angle, every aspect of life. Everything is just penetrating you. When I turned on my radio, I went to plug it in around like seven early in the hour. I went to plug in my radio and. Okay, I was there, and I was plugging it in, and I leaned back on my bed, and I did a nice little back crack. I got the radio all plugged in, so I flicked through the stations a little bit, and I was flicking at all the different ones, all the different noises, and it was a nice, good time, and I got to jam it, 94.5, and I was listening to it, and I was listening to this beat for, like, a couple seconds. I was like, wow, this is pretty good. It wouldn't go through, like, a bar or a measure, I don't know, musical terms, but it went through probably like 15 seconds of the song. And then this guy's voice comes in, it's like, way power pulse off. And then they literally advertise this guy's name. I know that's one of the DJs. They just loop him over and over again. It's crazy. I can't believe it. This stuff's all going around over introduction. It's crazy. It's some crazy stuff. Hey, my little sister, she watches the television. She's got on demand. Every time I play drums, she turns on this on demand. She's looking through the channels and I can hear it.
Robert, I think we get the idea. It's awesome sometimes. You totally get into that mood. You just start dancing in your blood, and you just, you know, let the moment take you. I think we can all relate to that.
Yeah, this concept of being.
So you can hear everything all the time. You really can hear everything all the time. Every little thing is every little thing that's affecting everything. But, you know, your radio waves at MIT really aren't affecting me. So this is the end of my conversations with you MIT folks. Have a good night with your airwaves.
And
see you, Robert.
Well, take care then. Marhaban. This really was an interesting point that Robert spoke of, which is that, you know, he feels, I believe the word he used was penetrated by all of the pollution and all of the kinds of pollution, which were including, you know, air pollution and noise pollution and this subliminal advertising pollution, which he felt penetrated by, which, you know, brings to mind the concept that he feels, first of all, that he put it in the passive voice, indicating that he is, you know, the subject of the penetration, that he is
the penetratee, if you will.
Yeah, in Arabic we have a mechanism for producing active and passive participles for all verbs in very complex ways, but yes, the penetratee. And also indicating that he has little control over being penetrated, that he feels saturated. And I'd like to encourage the listeners, you know, in a moment like this, what I like to do is I like to practice some meditation, some lovely candles, some bubble bath, and this really helps me, ironically, to clear my mind. And the irony there is that it makes me very receptive, you know, very, very able to sort of be saturated by everything, all the stimuli. And the reason that it is a cleansing thing is because, as we've mentioned repeatedly on the show, the human being in the you know, the Sakrani philosophy is a is hollow, that that he is empty, and the natural state of human is empty. And the reason that this subliminal advertising, the light, the air, the sound is able to fill you, and so that you feel saturated, is only because you resist it. And the meditation allows you to permit all of these various penetrations to simply penetrate through you. And it appears we have another caller. Let's welcome him or her or it or them on the air. Hello, you're on the air.
You cut me off from talking and then you go to the music because you have no callers. What about this Wikipedia?
Robert, you told us goodbye. We did not wish to cut you off.
Sorry about that.
You know what? I'm so bored. They're playing this really boring music outside. They're probably having fun. There's some little kids making noises that I don't know how to make.
So, Robert, you continue to feel penetrated.
Yeah, I like my bugs over these speakers. It's nice.
Well, Robert, I mean, my suggestion before is to let the penetration pass through you.
Yeah, that's all good and fun. Everything smells bad. Well, my room actually smells pretty good. It's got a nice air conditioner, two nice windows, and too bad no one's ever coming in it except for me. Ha! There's some nice painting. Sometimes my friend that eats good, when he comes in and he plays music and he sleeps a lot in my room, but I think it makes me dream about him more. Maybe it's because we played music, I don't know, but I can definitely smell that he's been here or smell that anybody's been here. I don't like when people come in my room. People, when they wear cologne, oh man, I hate the smell of cologne. My friend doesn't wear the smell of cologne.
So,
he wears some cologne, I don't know. He smells okay, though. I don't really like the way he smells. I like the way that I smell best.
Well, yeah.
Everyone likes their own brand.
Yeah, odors. I think we were built that way. But Robert, are you saying that you have a highly acute sense of smell? Because I was always blessed, or perhaps cursed, with a very acute sense of smell. I've learned over the years not to mention to people that I can smell them when they enter a room. It's not an offensive thing to me. It's just the way the world is. I smell the doctor. I smell all the people here at the station. And earlier today, when I was walking down the street, I
thought you were talking about the smell of hospitals. The smell of hospitals is weird.
No, the smell of people. They all have a distinct smell, which is often, as you mentioned, blocked and choked off by colognes or body washes. I was walking down the street earlier today, and I thought I smelled my friend Matt, but it was someone else who happened to use the same body wash.
Hmm. So the natural odor is constricted and suffocated.
More than constricted, yes, entirely suffocated. Mm. It's gone.
Interesting. I read once about a gentleman who was polymorphed into a dog in a dream, and he awoke to find that his, you know, in the dream it was extremely vivid, and he found that he was journeying around the forest and the meadows, and that he enjoyed a vast bouquet of smells, the like of which he had never before experienced. When he awoke, he found that the sense of smell had remained with him, although the shape and body of the dog had not. And it remained with him for many weeks. He wrote poems about the smells of water and various stones and so on, which I found intriguing. So when you gentlemen speak, of course, despite having a great proboscis nose, you know, my sense of smell is greatly diminished due to an unfortunate accident in my laboratory several years ago involving an acidic substance and the attempt to fit this acidic substance nasally. So I am not blessed with a great, olfactory sense.
So, Doctor, before we get off the subject of your appearance entirely, because you had
mentioned...
Should
I talk about my morning? This morning, I ate sushi, and I ate it where I pee. Outside. Right next to where I pee. But I haven't peed there in a while, and it rains a lot. But I don't know. I don't really mind the smell. Do I mind the smell of my own? I don't know. I really don't know. I noticed that I am more miserable when I eat things that make my poop smell bad.
Uh-huh.
That's odd.
But I don't really care.
Robert, I do think you have a highly acute sense of smell from what you're saying. I don't think most people critique smell quite to the degree you do. Naturally, most people will find certain odors offensive, but not to the degree you do.
I think that's why they classify some teas and make them illegal, because they want you to eat McDonald's.
Robert, hold this thought for a moment. We have another caller. Hello, you are on Music for Human. Hello? Well,
if you want to be silent, I think that's just fine here. Just be with us, caller number two. Just, live with us.
Our operator is gesturing that perhaps the caller hung up.
Oh.
Well, again, the number is 617-253-8810.
And we have our next call. Caller number two, can you hear us?
Yes, hello? Hello?
Hello?
Am I on air?
You are on the air.
Oh, You know, I gotta tell you guys, this week my chakra's just been not feeling too well.
Please, elaborate.
You know, it started with the stripes. I was just seeing stripes everywhere.
Stripes.
And my yellow aura, it just dropped right down to blue.
You said that you were seeing stripes?
Yeah, that's right.
Can you please expand upon these stripes? Where have you been seeing these stripes?
Well, vertical or horizontal stripes?
You know, they're like zebra stripes, but I don't really like the white and black, you know? It's just not how I like to talk, how I like to think.
Wait, you're talking about zebra stripes. Oh yeah, the stripes on a zebra. What if you encoded a zebra?
No, I think you got this all wrong. This is about my chakra. It's just misaligned.
What happened on Ren and Stimpy? Where did the socks go?
What?
The alternate universe.
Now, there ain't no alternate universe.
No, Robert, he's talking about his chakra, his spiritual
the nature of begging,
avatar.
Need,
listen, buddy, you
lack,
gotta understand what I'm talking
want,
about here.
Need,
this ain't no small play stuff.
Robert, let's treat it seriously. The issue of a stripy chakra is a grave one because it
What's
indicates
a chakra
is sort of a spiritual avatar. A representative of yourself in a spiritual realm.
Like in the center of your forehead?
No, it's there's
what
no
is your...
lines there. Lines like
come on,
lines.
Man. Don't you understand one thing from two? What is this?
Robert. The chakra you were referring to is a chakra in certain Buddhist beliefs. It is the sixth chakra between the eyes. It is a sort of a spiritual focal point. I believe what Color 2 is talking about, though, is his overall body's chakra, his spiritual life force, his presence in the spiritual world, which is striped, and some people will...
I'm a big dragon in the spiritual world, and I eat everything.
No, you know, Robert, it's an abstraction. There is no animal presence there. The stripy chakra.
Robert, I'm afraid that you're a little too high energy for us now.
I'm too high energy.
A little bit.
I'm a lifeline in this show.
You are my.
Can I talk like the kid again? I want to be a new actor now. Can I be a new actor now? Yes.
Robert, we're getting another call, and I'm afraid we're going to need to fade you out so we can... but thank you for calling us again.
You know, what's his problem? I just don't understand.
Yeah, we apologize. We have another third caller. Caller 3, you're on the air.
You know, was he doing too much emphasis?
Yeah, I'm here. When you guys started your show, was it a year and a half, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
You know, you really had some interesting stuff to talk about, like, in the spiritual realm. And you're letting too many jokers in your show. And it's just becoming, you know, too much of a zoo to be, you know, worth listening to. I think it must be a good, you know, practice and patience for you know, the hosts over there, both of you guys.
Well,
that's probably the extent of it.
I'm not.
You know, you could talk about, you know, crystals or, you know, some spiritual stuff. Or, you know, even I was about a week ago, some guy showed me this thing on the internet. The Planet X or something? I think it was the 12th planet. What's Pluto? The 11th? I can't. No, the 8th planet. I can't remember. I haven't taken astronomy in years, but, they say that the Mayan calendar is supposed to end in 2012. It doesn't go any further than there, and supposedly there's a planet, you know, on the outskirts of our solar system that's supposed to cross close to the Earth in 2012 and cause havoc and this and that. I mean, do you guys have any take on that? I'd be curious to hear. I just want to listen now. Thanks.
Okay, well, thank you for calling. This is a sort of two-edged question. But let's first go back to caller two and talk about this stripe chakra, which I regard as actually somewhat grave.
Yes.
So this is indicating that there is a crossing over of some sort occurring. So unfortunately, I realize this is quite vague, and I cannot be too specific about it without a great deal of meditation on your part. But the likeliest causes are either a grave calamity about to occur or having just occurred, or some sort of immense confusion in your area, either on your part or on the part of another practitioner with a great deal of spiritual energy nearby.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what you're feeling, but actually, it was just last week my dog died.
Oh.
And that was just the kit and caboodle. It was really hard.
Deaths often do affect the chakra in extreme ways like this. I think what you need to do now, caller number two, is focus on recentering yourself. I'm very sorry for your loss, but...
Now, how do I go about doing that?
Let me tell you. In order to recenter yourself, you must sit. You must relax, and you must breathe deeply in some relaxing position. The doctor and I, we prefer straight backs, legs crossed, hands of the palms up relaxed. We take deep breaths. You must think about your problem after clearing your mind. First clear your mind of all thoughts, and then think about your situation. Your dog has, I'm again sorry to say, passed on. But to recenter yourself, you must realize that this, as all things, are part of life. And you must simply accept that. Become one with the knowledge and become one with the universe. Your dog is not gone. He is merely not in this world anymore. So try to reconnect with your dog. What was his name?
Lester.
Reconnect with Lester. Remember all the times you've had together. And know that he will be with you always in memory.
And it brings me back to this topic about change, this idea that, you know, you really shouldn't see it as the end of something, but also as the beginning of something, and permit the death of your close companion to pass through you.
Yeah, you know, what was that guy talking about, them planets colliding?
Caller 3. So, caller 3 was mentioning this,
That sounds spooky and stuff, you know? You gotta watch out.
The cosmic phenomena are terrifying because they are so, large, involving planetary bodies. It's a terrifying thing, but again, my belief here is that we must let... The possibility of the occurrence pass through us. You know, that we cannot refuse to live our lives because the world will end soon. And for this reason, I often simply ignore warnings about the end of time, because really, what difference could it make?
So, caller three, I'm of this mind too, if you're listening out there. That's what the take is here. Both of the doctor and the Music for Human Beings staff in general. Life is beautiful. We're communing with each other, and even if the world were to end, our spirits would still be here. We would still be able to approximate our circle with tonight up to 5 nodal points.
And with that, I'm afraid... It is nearly 8 o'clock here at WMBR in Cambridge, 88.1. We'd like to thank our callers and our Amy for engineering. And thanks to our listeners for tuning in. Ma'a salama from Dr. Jalis al-Sakran.
Namaste from Peace Child Peter.
4 points for safety.
Number one.
Cars and bikes stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be a pedestrian or turning car that doesn't see you coming.
Number two.
Look first before you open your door.
Numerous bicyclists have been injured or even killed by car doors suddenly opening into them.
Look first, and bicyclists, stay out of the door zone.
Number three.
Cross with the signal.
You are safest if you wait for a walk or green traffic signal.
Don't jaywalk. That's just walking into trouble.
Number four.
Cars and bikes should stop for pedestrians in unsignalized crosswalks.
Be nice. Be legal. Be safe.
Brought to you as a public service by the Cambridge Bicycle Committee and this station.
To smile a little before you let it go, 'cause we're gonna lay around the shanty mama and put a good buzz on. Always room for more. Fill it, light it, shut up and close the door, 'cause we're gonna lay around the shanty mama and put a good buzz on.
4 points.
Something good to eat, make ourselves a little high, make the whole day complete, 'cause we're gonna lay around the shanty mama and put a good buzz on. Well, every night and day if I can help it, we're gonna lay around the shanty mama and put a good buzz on.
You're listening to WMBR Cambridge 88.1. I am Lizzie, taking over for Josh this evening, and you're listening to the program Hidden Gems. Up next, I have some CSS and